Lord Jesus, that is our prayer, that you be magnified in our lives, Lord, that we exalt you, and as you're magnified, you're glorified. Lord, as our lives exhibit the nature of your greatness, Lord, we will be the best advertisement for the goodness of our God. We don't magnify you as someone with a microscope, taking something small and making it look big. We magnify you like a telescope. For some people, you are distant, but we draw you near. As we draw near to you, you draw near to us. And as we display you, you will draw all people unto yourself. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Good to see you this morning. It's good to be home. I pray that you feel that every time you walk in these doors. It's good to be home. I mean, this is our faith family. This is our place of refuge and rejuvenation. Amen. Last Sunday, I was in a different kind of sanctuary. I was in the Cathedral Pines of San Juan Mountains of Colorado. I was blessed to have a trip. Doc Adcock had submitted my name to ministry out of Barnum Cowboy Church in Tatum, and I guess they wanted to know if I knew which end of a horse to put the bridle in. And he said, yeah, he does. He knows. And so I got to go up on a pack trip into the mountains and spend a week up there. Doc Adcock and I did. And it's just amazing. And as we sang that last song, it talked about from the river to the mountaintops. Well, we got to see that last week, and the Lord being magnified, and just his nature echoes his invisible characteristics, Romans 1 tells us. And just beautiful. I'm going to share a little bit more about that trip towards the end of the message as you're looking at the title of the sermon and wondering what that's about. But I want to ask the question this morning, who do you serve? Who do you serve? There's just going to be two questions. The first one is, who do you serve? I want to look at James chapter 3. And verse 14 through 18 says, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. The most miserable people I know are self-serving people, those who think that within themselves is the key to fulfillment and satisfaction. They're kind of like a dog chasing its tail, and just wearing itself out, but never quite grasp what they're trying to get a hold of. And so self-seeking people are people who are desiring to be fulfilled and yet are the most miserable ones I know. If you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. So don't say, well, God made me this way. The scripture says, no, God did not make you that way. No, that is a different spirit. It's not a holy spirit. It's a demonic spirit that causes you to be self-serving, self-seeking, to look into yourself to find your meaning. And when we get inward turned, we turn downward. I promise you. Introspection, it's kind of like on your car. Your windshield is this big and your rearview mirror is this big. Why? Because if your rearview mirror were this big, you're headed for a wreck. If you're constantly looking backward and inward and trying to examine yourself, you're headed for a wreck. But we are looking forward to where the Lord is taking us. But don't think that, that's just how I'm made. No, that's just how you're influenced. And we are not to be influenced by the earthly, sensual, or demonic. Let's read it again, verse 14. If you have bitter envy, what does that mean? Well, they've got it. I want it. Why can't my life, when we go into the sin of comparison, why can't my life look like their life? And we do it as Christians horribly. And I'd call it the sin of comparison between individuals, between churches. And it's a horrible sin to say, well, I'm not satisfied with what he's given me. I want what he hasn't given me. It's the same problem Adam and Eve had in the garden. Gave them every tree in the garden but the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And that's the one they wanted. That's the one they wanted. So where bitter envy and self-seeking is in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but it's earthly. It doesn't come down from God. It's earthly, sensual, demonic. It comes up from beneath. Everybody with me? For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion. Everybody say confusion. Is that not a name we hear all the time nowadays? That word confusion pops up over and over. People confused about everything. Well, where does that confusion come from? God has not given us a spirit of confusion. That doesn't come from God. It says this comes from earth, sensual, demonic. But the wisdom that is from above, verse 17. Oh, I need to back up verse 16. I got to finish it. For envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. It's not from God. It's not from God. Verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. There's confusion, there's chaos. Well, that's the devil's playground. There's peace, that's a fruit of the Spirit. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Let's look at the next one. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 says, let nothing be done through selfish, self-serving, self-seeking. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. I'm asking the question, who do you serve? If we're serving ourselves, that's a dead end road. But let us serve one another. Look at verse 4. Let each of you look not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. I like to just kind of put things simple where my little pea brain can remember it. And when it comes to joy, the best way to remember joy is the order of things. Jesus, J, others, O, you, Y. If you put things in that order of how you are, instead of being self-seeking, that's getting things in backward order. But when we put Christ as a priority and then prioritize other people's lives, and the things of our needs will follow. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all those things will be added unto you. So let's put it in that order. Jesus, others, then you, then the joy of the Lord will be filling our souls. Amen. Let each of you look not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Amen. I love my liberty. I won't surrender my liberty. You can be in bondage to sin, or you can be in bondage to religion. Religion can be simply a list of rules, ritual, and repetition. And there's a lot of people in bondage to religion. I was one, but I got freed up. Amen. And I will never surrender again. That's the whole point of the book of Galatians. People who were in bondage to religion. And he says, you need to get freed up from that stuff. And however, look what the rest of this verse says. For brethren, you've been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Who do you serve? For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Who do you serve? Do you serve yourself? And self-serving people are never satisfied because the answer is not in yourself. The answer is in our Savior. Amen. Amen. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus has been, he had been baptized, led into the desert by the Holy Spirit, and tempted by the devil. Second temptation, I just jump straight to the one. Second temptation, Satan takes him up on a high mountain. He's showing them the kingdoms of this world. He says, I'll give you all the authority if you'll just bow down and worship me. And Jesus said, you shall worship the Lord your God. And him only, catch this next part, him only shall you what? Who are you serving? Who are you serving? If you're self-serving, you're going to be miserable. If we get the things in the right order, serving the Lord your God and worship him and serve him, things get in the right order and the Lord's blessings come. I want to look now at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, or chapter 9, and asking the second question. First question was, who do you serve? Second question is, how do you serve? If we're supposed to worship the Lord our God and serve Him only, well, how am I going to serve Him? What is the attitude that I bring in serving the Lord? You ever known Christians that look like they got baptized in pickle juice? Just sour and bitter. And have you ever walked into churches that just feel like a place of death? I hear people say it all the time. I know it exactly what they're talking about because I feel it every time I walk into this place. Man, it just feels like life when you walk into that church. Praise the Lord. Why? Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. There's life. There's joy. There's peace. There's this calm assurance. It's just a feeling. You can feel it. I want to try to describe it, but I can't describe it because it's not something you put words to. It's a feeling when you walk into the presence of the Lord. And how is His presence ushered in? Ingrid had it right. It's ushered in through praise. As we worship the Lord, that's the Holy Spirit's job. The Holy Spirit illuminates Jesus. And as we illuminate Jesus, the Holy Spirit says, I'm in my good company right here. And I come on in the building. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. There's life. There's love. There's just a feeling that you can almost tangibly feel. So how should I serve the Lord? Well, you shouldn't serve Him begrudgingly. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. And this passage of Scripture is actually talking about giving, but it so applies to how we serve the Lord. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. God loves a cheerful giver. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, and that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have abundance for every good work. If you're looking for it in yourself, you're not going to find it. But if you serve God cheerfully, He says He's going to pour out on you. Amen. Amen. I want to look at Psalm 100. How should I serve the Lord? Psalm 100. We're going to read the whole psalm. It's 5 verses. All right. Here's how we should serve the Lord. Make a joyful shout to the Lord. How should we serve Him? Joyfully. Amen. Serve the Lord with gladness. How should we serve Him? Gladly. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. How should we serve Him? Thankfully. Amen. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. Isn't He good? Man, He's good. His mercy is everlasting. And His truth endures to all generations. I love that other passage of Scripture. His mercies are new every morning. Amen. Because I wore out yesterday's mercy. I need new mercy today. And He says His mercies are new every morning. I want to look at Romans chapter 12. This really kind of tops it all off. Romans 12:11. Got my little tabs all out of order. Romans 12:11 says, be kindly affectionate to one another. Actually, verse 10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. But here's where 11 comes in. So it says, who are you serving? One another. Verse 11, not lagging in diligence. See, I can't. Jesus died, rose again, and ascended. So I can't physically see Jesus. How do I serve Him? I can physically see His body. You're the body of Christ. So by serving you, I serve Jesus. And so by serving you, I am sacrificing myself. And we do this for one another as mature Christians. Now, immature Christians, and it's fine to be an immature Christian if you've only been Christian for a short amount of time. Immature Christians come seeking a church that serves them. Immature Christians come church shopping to say, where can I get the most? Mature Christians come looking for a church in which they can serve. Y'all with me? Immature Christians are consumers. Mature Christians are contributors. Mature Christians say, I want an opportunity in which I can use the gifts that God has given me, because the most fulfillment that I can get is when I am used by God. Amen. That's mature Christianity. It's okay to be immature if you've only been a Christian for a short amount of time. We don't take that little baby, Boston. We got a lot of babies in this church. That's a good church growth program. Yeah. Last Valentine's Day, I said, hey, y'all don't come to church. Y'all go home, take your wives out for a nice dinner, put on some fancy music and some candlelights, and their church starts growing. Amazing. Little Luther Vandross, little Barry White, little Love Doctor. I get distracted, sorry. But you don't take that baby and set that baby in the crib with a T-bone steak. No, it's perfectly natural for a baby to need milk, and it's perfectly natural for a baby Christian to cry because they need something. But if you've been a Christian for 20, 30, 40 years, and you're still crying because you can't pick up your own fork, maybe it's time to grow up. Maybe it's time to grow up. I'm sorry, I got to just kind of got on a little trail there. Romans 12:11. Here's where we're going with this. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit. Who are we serving? Serving the Lord. How are we serving? Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulations. They come. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Amen. Amen. You might be looking at the title of our sermon and asking, what kind of title of this? Where is he going with the title of this sermon? And I was asked just previously about the waitress. So we were there in Pagosa Springs, and we'd been up in the mountains for 4 days without a shower. And you get a little gamey after 4 days without a shower. And we come into town, rode down the mountain, come into town, was going to get a shower. We got a shower because you don't go into a restaurant without getting a shower because you'll ruin everybody's lunch. And we went to the restaurant, and first we went to Walmart, and then we went to the restaurant. And as we started getting it, Hog's Boss, let me get that right. Hog's breath, that's a different kind of deal. That's when you don't brush your teeth after 4 days. I grew up watching Dukes of Hazzard. It's Boss Hog. Boss Hogs. And at the Boss Hog restaurant, there's seven of us, and this waitress comes over, and she's so excited. And I thought, well, maybe she likes cowboy tops. I don't know. And she was just, oh my goodness. She was just so enthusiastic, so excited. She was going around to each one. What can I get for you? And what can I get for you? And oh, thank you. I mean, we'd order our meals. Oh, thank you. What can I get for you? And she was literally jumping. I'm thinking, this girl's on dope. As we were trying to, I was bumping the sermon idea, the title ideas around with Ingrid and Emily, and the first one I had was just lame. And so I said, help me come up with an idea. And then the thought come up, crackhead waitress, crackhead waitress. But no, that could be offensive. So we come up with a title. What's up with her? Because I was asking the question, she shocked me. What's up with her? And she would just go around and, oh, can I? And she would take her orders. And then she would come around with a glass of tea. I mean, a pitcher of tea. I drank 4 glasses of tea that day. And she's thanking me. Oh, can I fill your glass up? And she even said, oh, you're dehydrated. She just kept filling my glass up. And I was just kind of taken back by this waitress. And then again, I thought, maybe she just likes cowboy tights. But no, here comes another couple, and she's the same way with them, and she's hugging their necks. It's like, this is the greatest day of her life. And then as we left, talking to Joe, Brother Joe Cox is the one that took us on this trip, and I asked, and he's up there all the time, and he said, oh, she's always like that. So I come up here every year. She's always like that. It's like every day of her life was the greatest day of her life. And it so blessed all of us. We all left there talking about the waitress. And now, Before we went there, we went to the Walmarts. And Doc Adcock had went through this line where the checker was about as rude and hateful, and it got under Doc's skin. Am I right, brother? And he come out of there, and boy, he was kind of red and a little flustered. And I said, you know what? I wonder how many people that guy gave them a bad day. And who would go to Walmart and say, oh, I want to go through his line? Or would just say, not going to that line. I left there with a bad day the last time I went to that line. Now, the restaurant boss, Hogs, the food was good, but I would go back there every day just to have that waitress make my day. Just leaving there joyful. Just leaving there knowing, man, she is enjoying serving. Enjoying serving. Who do you serve? How do you serve? I want to read that passage of scripture, that Romans 12 passage, in a paraphrase. It says it this way: be enthusiastic to serve the Lord, keeping your passion toward Him boiling hot. Can you passionately serve the Lord? Can you enthusiastically serve the Lord? Can you gratefully serve the Lord? Every time we ask her for something, oh, thank you. Thank you. And she was so thankful to get to serve us. Be enthusiastic to serve the Lord, keeping your passion toward Him boiling hot. Radiate with the glow of the Holy Spirit and let Him fill you with excitement as you serve Him. Amen. That so describes that waitress. And by the way, just so you know, that's not her. Don't go to Boss Hogs looking for the blonde. That's not her. She was so thankful to get to do what she got to do. I don't know her past. I wish, like everything, it's almost worth the trip back. I wish, like everything, I'd have pulled her aside and said, tell me your story. Tell me your story. Where does this come from? Why are you so enthusiastic? Do you know the Lord? Because you act like somebody that knows the Lord. Yeah. No, she wasn't drunk. She wasn't high. She was high with joy. Right. Amen. Yeah. And Christians, we ought to be filled with the joy of the Lord, grateful that we get to do what we get to do. Right. Amen. Every one of us should be so enthusiastic that I can't believe He lets me serve Him. I can't believe I get to do this. It is the greatest day of my life. I can't believe that I get to do this. How many people go to that checker at that Walmart and leave there having a bad day? And how many people go to that restaurant and get that waitress and leave there having a good day? The impact that we have on people's lives is very, very, very significant. And as Christians, we ought to represent the Lord and the joy of the Lord just oozing out of us. We should be people that it's obvious that we're having fun. It should be obvious. This is not an obligation. It's an opportunity. This is not a burden. It's a blessing. In the book of Malachi, God was just kind of lining out the nation of Israel. And then he's going through families. He's going through one after the other. And then He calls out the priests. He says, I got a problem with you priests. Might as well say preachers if we were to modernize it. And they say, well, what problem do you have with us? He says, you have called the service of the Lord a burden. I hope it wasn't a burden for you to get up, get dressed, come church this morning. I hope it wasn't a burden for you to come and worship Him. And in that passage in Malachi, he said, I wish somebody just shut the doors. Because I would rather you not worship me than worship me begrudgingly. And so,
Not only the question is, who do you serve, but how do you serve him? Do we serve him with joy? Do we serve him with gladness? Do we serve him with thanksgiving? Oh, thank you. Thank you that I get to serve you. I can't believe that I get to serve you today. Thank you, God. This is not a job. It's a joy. It's not a job. It's a joy. I want to ask you that question again. Who do you serve? If you come in today and you've been struggling with the fact that you're lacking satisfaction, you're lacking fulfillment, you'll continue to lack that if you think you can find it within yourself and your own being. Or maybe the Lord is kind of revealing that to you and saying, oh no, it's found in me. But religion, by the way, won't get you there. Oh, you can form your lists. You can form your rules. You could have your checklist Christianity. It won't get you there. It comes through a relationship. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The letter brings death. And I know people that take this letter and they use it to stab and they use it to beat and they use it to hurt other Christians. The letter brings death, but the Spirit gives life. We need to take this word and say, what's the Spirit saying to me? What's the Holy Spirit who authored this book? What is he saying through me? And I know it's to bring life and not death. And when you take and you read this scripture that way and you recognize that this is not a rule book, this is not a to-do list, this is a love letter from a God who is just crazy about you, it changes the attitude. The attitude is everything. It changes your attitude and you begin to serve him in a different way. With this attitude of, I can't believe I get to do this. That the God of all creation, the one who is so vast that he can see all the universes in one glimpse, and yet he looks down at a little speck of a human being like me, and he came and he saved me, he delivered me, he redeemed me, restored me, and now he put his name on me, and I get to serve him. Isn't he good? There's a passage of scripture about a woman who, it's in Luke 7, if you want to read it on your own sometime, a woman, she is known as a sinner. May have been a prostitute or something. Jesus is invited to a party at Simon the Pharisee's house, and he's there at that party, and this woman comes in, everybody knows who she is. Small town, probably. And she comes in and she falls at Jesus' feet and she's just weeping on his feet and wiping his feet with her hair. And the religious one said, if he knew that woman, he wouldn't let her touch him. Well, Jesus knows his thoughts and said, Simon, I love this passage. I have something to say to you. I just said it word for word. Simon, I have something to say to you. I hope you can read the tone that I believe Jesus said that. And Simon, with his arrogant response, said, say it. He said someone was indebted to a man, 150 talents, 500 talents. I think I got the numbers right, possibly. And that man forgave both debts. Who do you think would be most grateful? Well, surely the one who was forgiven 500. He said, yeah. And this woman who came in here a sinner has been so grateful. And it's almost as if it's backwards. When you read this parable, it's almost as if it's backwards. We're not told that she is forgiven and then becomes grateful. We're told that she is grateful, and from her attitude of gratitude, she is then forgiven. Jesus does things like that to make you really drill into this story. He said, yeah, this woman came in here, and her sins are many, and you think yours are few, so you didn't serve me at all. You never gave me water to wash my hands, He never gave me water to wash my feet. But this woman has not stopped washing my feet with her tears and wiping my feet with her hair. And then he says, and because of that, her sins are forgiven. Who do you serve? How do you serve? Are we serving the Lord? That woman at the Boss Hog restaurant that I thought at first was a crackhead waitress. I almost called it Crackhead Christians. That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? Good title. The Crackhead Christian. If you're a crackhead, I apologize. I love you. No, it's not that. It's not trying to be offensive, but to have someone so out of place, so different, that you have to ask the question, what's up with her? What's up with that dude? Oh, he's just got the joy of the Lord all over him. He's just grateful that he gets to serve Jesus. She's just so thrilled that God has saved her. That waitress at Boss Hogs in Pagosa Springs, if you ever go there, you'll know her. That gal made my day. Oh, the mountains were beautiful. Oh, the little stream that we were camped out by, it was awesome. But that lady, I can't forget her. She made my day. She made my week. And she made this message. Remember, Jesus talked about the woman that anointed him with a fragrant perfume. He said, what she did, it'll be talked about. It's going to be talked about. And that service that I got from that lady, I don't even know her name. I don't know her story. But I left there saying, all of us pastors that were on that trip, we're going to be preaching about that girl. Yeah. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for putting your joy in your people. Lord, I want so badly to be like her. To be so grateful that I get to do what I get to do. And I'm not talking about being a preacher or a pastor. I'm talking about being a child of God. That I get to serve you with my life. Oh, I want to be like her. That every day is the best day of my life. Thrilled beyond words. Bouncing up and down. I get to do this. I can't believe I get to do this. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, you are so good. And I am so grateful. Stir our hearts, oh God, to love you like that. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.